Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 14, Mark Levine from BubbleFast. In this segment, we spent some time talking about meetups and different conferences, and we hit one almost immediately because there's an upcoming one in Chicago called the Ecom Chicago Conference, October 16th and 17th. And we spent some time talking about the value of those conferences, and we really addressed that more in segment two. The other thing that I think is really a story I've never heard is how BubbleFast really came to be. And it just will blow you away if you've not heard it, and how it started in 1998 and it didn't include Mark. And he talks about how it all came together, and it's such a respectful and candid discussion, a real special story. So let's get into the podcast. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, and I don't know if this gentleman needs an introduction. If you think packing material, tape, special tape dispensers, custom made based on request. Every place you go, him and his wife are at. He's everywhere. He's just the most likable guy. I'm excited to have Mark Levine from BubbleFast. Hey, welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate that because you are, as I say, everywhere. You know, I just heard something else. You were at somewhere else, and I guess you have an upcoming conference yourself?
Yeah, my Chicago area eBay and e-commerce group that I'm a member of puts on last year for the first time was the Ecom Chicago e-commerce conference. We had our first one last year. It was so successful. We're putting on a second one this year. Near Chicago by the airport, October 16th and 17th. If anybody wants to see some energy in the room, we're going to have Chris Green, John Lawson, and Jason T. Smith all rocking the house.
Those are some big boys and big sellers and big personalities. That's great.
Ecomchicago.com if you're interested. It's going to be a great conference.
Thanks. I've heard nothing but great things. My friend Ryan Grant spoke there last year, I believe.
Yeah, he's got a great, fantastic story. He spoke again last weekend at the Midwest Ecom Conference in Minnesota. And I hope you get a chance to interview him if you haven't yet. He's got a great Amazon story.
I will. And then my other good friend, Andy Slamons, is speaking this year, I saw.
Yeah, Andy is actually from the Chicago area originally, and he couldn't resist the opportunity to come back home and present for us on private label for Amazon.
Yeah, he's bringing his kid. I mean, he's really excited about it. So you are everywhere. I mean, you know, let's go back, though, because a lot of people have I think every person who's going to ever hear this podcast has bought from BubbleFast, either on eBay, either on Amazon, or your own website. We've all bought from you because you have the best bags. There's no question in the bag world, you're it.
I appreciate it.
And so let's go back, though, you know, and let's talk about where BubbleFast came from. Take us back.
Yeah, I can do that. So taking BubbleFast back to the beginning actually does not involve me. BubbleFast was originally created by Robin and her then-husband, Alan Mann, who he was an accountant, CPA. And he also had a fondness for computers and computer parts. And one of his clients dealt in computers and gave Alan a whole bunch of computer parts to tinker around with. And he had this idea that maybe he can sell these parts on some little unknown website called eBay back in 1999. And when he did sell them, it's like, well, how am I going to pack these things for shipping? So another one of his customers, his clients, sold bubble wrap, and he was able to get a roll and pack and ship his computer parts. And that's when he had his light bulb moment, like, okay, I need bubble wrap to pack my eBay items. Maybe everybody else does. So that was the moment that BubbleFast was actually born, in Robin and Alan Mann's house in Gurnee, Illinois in 1999. It took about 6 months for the neighbors to get a little not exactly annoyed, but, you know, wonderment was going on when semi-trucks were pulling up in the driveway. So they ended up getting a warehouse that we're still in today in Gurnee, back in 1999. They ran the business for a couple of years. Alan Mann ran in a marathon in 2001, and unfortunately, he suffered a heart attack during the marathon. He was in a coma for 17 days before he passed away. Alan Wow. was a very, very popular individual. People from the community, whether it was from the synagogue or the school board that he was president of, or just friends and family, all came to Bubblefast blindly looking through the computers and keeping the business running while Robin and her two daughters sat by Alan's bedside for 17 days without knowing anything. The community kept Bubblefast going. I happened to be one of those people at the time. Alan did pass away. Robin was then by herself. I hung around for a little while. Turns out I never left. So here I am today. Robin and I are married, and we're keeping Bubblefast going in the Alan Mann tradition.
That's an incredible story. Wow. I just can't imagine, or I guess I can imagine, the image of the community coming in and just rolling their sleeves up. That says something about the person, what kind of person he must have been.
He even had the superintendent himself of the school board come and assist by packing bubble wrap and getting it ready for the daily shipment. He was an amazing individual with amazing talents to bring people together. And it's in that tradition that we kept Bubblefast going all of these years.
Would you, any guess on how many SKUs that the company was back then? How many different items were they selling?
Back then, we had two sizes of bubble and in two lengths, so that's four. We had two sizes of foam in two different lengths, so that's eight. I think we had four sizes of boxes and some tape, so let's say about 13.
So 13 SKUs, and they were doing – it was a business that – a sizable business? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, it grew so fast that became the family business. You know, the girls were packing in their bedrooms with the priority tape and getting everything ready, and Robin was packing up the van and driving up to the Wisconsin post office. It was open 24/7. Back then, you'd go to the mailbox and just see a stack of checks in there waiting for you. It was a lot of fun back then, and we've tried to keep the fun in our business, you know, even today.
And so, and it was an eBay business. And this was when eBay, you know, one photo, you know, everything was really complicated, right? And he was able to figure that out by himself, or did he have help there too?
It was Alan all by himself, and actually it was not complicated. You didn't even need photos. Today is way, way, way more complicated because there are so many more buyers and sellers and different kinds of products that, you know, naturally you have to have more rules in place than they had back then. So it actually wasn't that complicated, and there wasn't much competition. So it was a free-for-all, and anybody who got on early was able to stick around and make some money. And they did this full-time as a family for a good couple of years, and that's how they live.
So 17 years, just about 17 years on eBay. I mean, it's just incredible. You don't see much of that, especially the sustaining and the growth. How many SKUs would you guess that you have now under the Bubblefast name?
Probably about 1,800.
So 13 to 1,800.
Yeah.
Wow. We've had
16 and a half years to grow it.
And you really,
what you said, I mean, I was talking to Robin about it this morning. We have seen so many CEOs and executives from eBay come and go throughout the years. We're still here.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, there's, you know, I get some grief from them time to time. I think we have about 5,000 or 6,000 SKUs on eBay. And we had two stores. We closed one, so we're down to one. And it is more complicated, but we use outside listed companies that make it easier. But I think it's easier because we adapted to the easiness. It's probably still pretty complicated, right? But these changes, I mean, you've seen them made a bunch of different times. You know, where's it going?
Hopefully, you know, with the new regime, we're going to get back, eBay is going to get back to the basics and try to be better seller advocates than they've been in the past. A lot of times eBay has strayed from who they are. They're trying to be who they're not because they want to be who somebody else is. And as long as they remember who, you know, what their roots are and what their focus is, I think they'll be okay. There's been some, you know, errors along the way, some missteps, but as long as they get back to basics, like I said, you know, I think eBay is going to work out okay.
And so you really you have a confidence that they will.
Well, eBay is not going to go away. eBay is here for the long haul. The difference is that way back when, eBay was all there was. And now it isn't just having competition within eBay, but you have other marketplaces that compete with eBay. So eBay is still one of the major, major, major players, along with Amazon. There's plenty of other venues, but no other venue can compare to either one of the two. So we still get a lot of sales on eBay. We have no intentions of leaving eBay, but the difference is that we are no longer focusing solely on eBay.
Right, right. I think that's very sensible. Did you mess around with 11 Main? I don't know whether that would work in your world.
We applied to 11 Main, but quite frankly, shipping supplies isn't all that sexy, so they didn't let us sell on their site.
Okay. Yeah, we were turned down too, and now it's already gone.
Yeah.
How about Jet? That's out there now.
Jet is brand spanking new. I looked at it a little bit. We don't jump in too fast. We like tiptoe and see what's going on. People are saying, yeah, I've sold one thing on Saturday and nothing since. We have a lot of things going on right now. We want to make sure that we focus on priorities and what's going to give us some immediate results. So we're not counting it out. I'm just not jumping in that quickly just yet.
And last but not least, I know there are other ones like Sears and that, I don't count them, but Etsy. I don't know whether any crafty things, because you do make, or you do have made for you a lot of custom stuff. I want to talk about another good example in a little bit, but, you know, I don't know whether that would ever, so is there anything that you ever do with them, or is there abilities to?
Well, with Etsy, everything is supposed to be handmade or antique-y. But they also allow you to sell supplies. So, you know, I'm a member of Etsy and I've looked at it before, and it's kind of tough to break in because with eBay, like you said before, we're a known entity. We have a lot of loyalty to BubbleFast because they've known us throughout the years. And again, we try to focus on what we do best and make the best use of our time. So Etsy is probably the next thing that we would do, because it's already well established and very popular. But there's only so many things we can do at one time. And if we overwhelm ourselves, then we'll be, you know, the jack of all trades, master of none. And that's not what we're all about.
You know, earlier offline, we had a little discussion about size of staff and that. I am surprised on really how few people that you have in that organization, yet you're able to pump out so much stuff. Who's the best leader, you or Robin?
Robin and I complement each other very well. We each have our own strengths that we bring to the business. So when you say leader, you know, it depends upon what area you're addressing. So if it's just in regards to employees, I take care of the staff mostly, but Robin takes care of other things that she's got, you know, strengths in as well.
So you complement each other. That's cool. It's rare to see husband and wife you know, complementing each other so well in business. And that's, I'm assuming, one of the reasons that you guys have been so successful.
Well, yeah, we're 5 feet away from each other every day and still get to go home together at night.
And you still enjoy it, I hope?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, that's cool. I was hoping that was going to get added in there. And if it, you were going to say it, I know you were. You know, I think a lot of people would say that you are exactly what they want to be when they grow up, right? They want to be able to take a business that started on, well, us old timers, eBay, right? Or Etsy, I guess, added Amazon, added FBA, where they do the work, and now they're pushing out their eBay stuff through Amazon whenever they can, right? So they've really grown, but they really want to have their own website. I think I saw four people today asking about, hey, what about Channel Advisor? What about this one? Who else would be good to use to create their own website and then sell magically to the world because it's easy? Has it been easy for BubbleFast to excel on all these things? Is there, you know, let's go back to the hard times when you were struggling to expand.
It's definitely not easy. It's a lot of work. We had a website early on before most people did that helped us out. Just getting a website isn't going to do the trick because you can have the most expensive, biggest, best sign in the world, but if it's in the middle of the desert, nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to buy it from you. So the trick is getting, you know, getting people to your site. There's SEO, there's social media, there's all of that. And you have to work all that and you have to work it hard. We are husband and wife. We're family. We niche in small eBay and Amazon businesses just like us. We want our customers to know that we are just like them. We are family. We are community. This helps us because people want to help each other. It's just natural. And so, you know, I guess the secret sauce is being part of the community. A lot of people are selling online, but we're so involved with our customers, whether on Facebook or at an event or at a meetup group or on a telephone. Robin and I are still the ones that answer the phone all the time. So the key is the more we stay involved with our customers, the more they're going to feel good about our purchases, about their purchasing from us, and the more they're going to want to tell their friends and family about it. And that's the way you get people to your website, by becoming known to your customers and having your customers be your minions out there for you, your ambassadors.
There is, and that's so true, because, you know, when somebody asks a question, hey, I need to get BubbleFast, boom, I immediately see it. Here's Mark's contact. I see that out there a lot. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk about a specific example that I noticed that you now have shoeboxes. And I want to talk about how that came about, and they're non-branded, just plain shoeboxes, and I think I know the answer, but I want to talk about that because I think that's a perfect example of how and why you've been so successful. So let's go to break, and we'll come back in a few minutes. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. All right, before we jump back into the podcast, this segment we're going to spend time talking about two pretty important things. One is how they bring items to market. So they see a trend, somebody asks about something, they do some research, they find a way, hey, this is a viable business for us. And Mark talks about how they bring those items to market. And he gives several examples. And one, a very recent one, I think will resonate well with you. And the last part of the podcast, we spent a lot of time, really quite a bit of time, talking about community, because that's really how they believe their business has done so well, is because they're so involved in community. They're discussing items with their customers. They know them very well. And as I say, Mark and Robin are pretty much at every conference I go to, and they are right out in front and just willing to talk to anyone and really help you, and he offers to take your call. So I think this is going to be a great segment for you. So let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Mark Levine, Mr. Bubble of BubbleFast, the number one bag company, little north of Chicago, right?
Correct.
You're not a cheesehead, right? You're just south of the cheesesteak.
Right. We're right in between, straight line almost, between Chicago and Milwaukee.
Nice. Perfect. Cheese and beer. Oh, can't argue. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about your social media efforts. And to me, what I see is you're answering so many questions for people. You're so approachable. When I look at your site, it's call Mark at. And it's Mark at BubbleFast. You know, you're right there. You're right in the thick of it. And you're willing to answer questions for people. And I think that that's just so important to do that. But that's a lot of work.
Well, it's not work to us. It's part of our life. It's who we are. you'll see the picture of Robin and I on our website. You'll see a picture of Robin and I on our pen. Wherever you go, when we do a newsletter, you'll see a picture of Robin and I on the salutation at the end. It's about us. Bubblefast and Mark and Robin are synonymous. That's, you know, people don't know us as Bubblefast. They know us as Mark and Robin. It's, you know, you might as well say, you know, either one is the same. So again, it's just getting out there and letting people know who you are and not outsourcing everything. Do the best you can to answer as many questions. And yes, be out there.
I remember a contractor telling me once, and he has this huge company with these huge vehicles, you know, the things that move the earth around, right? And I think he had like 50 or 60 of these monstrous vehicles. And he said that he makes as much money today with all those vehicles as he did when it was him and two other guys. But he's got the headaches that would crush you, the workers' comp, and all these giant things. Bigger isn't always better. You do tend to lose something. And I my big worry is that this becoming a job. I don't want a job. You know, it sounds like you still are very enthusiastic about what you do. Is that part of what makes you so successful too?
The only bosses that we have are our customers. I can't say that we can name our own hours. We work hard and we work long and, you know, don't necessarily get the vacation time that we want, but we still get to do, you know, what we want, when we want. You know, our biggest key to success is listening to our customers. Like I said, those are our bosses. But both of us have experiences working really, really hard and really, really long and making other people money. It's so much better when you can do it for yourself. It's not a job. It's a way of life.
You know, you did mention that you stepped into the business. You volunteered to help you eventually married Robin. What did you do beforehand, Mark?
Well, I'm an accountant by training in school and jobs thereafter. And, you know, I did some corporate ladder climbing throughout the years and, you know, ran accounting departments and HR and IT and basically helped other companies run their businesses. So it gave me a good, solid education and experiences in knowing what I need to do to run our own business.
And, you know, I'm in a similar, that's my profession too. And so how do you find a balance between that corporate America side, right? At least for me, an MBA, and that's what they trained us all to do, right? And yet you don't want to, you still want it to be that small family type business like yours. How were you able to find that balance in between, or do you come up against it a lot?
I don't come up against it at all. I left that world behind me. Wow. You know, other than, you know, that's when it comes to treating employees and in treating customers. That's all behind me. You know, you just treat people like people, you know, and they're going to keep coming. I won't say that when, you know, I'm still doing my own financials and we actually have somebody else do our taxes. But being in the corporate world is different when you want to deal with vendors and suppliers. Corporate comes out then because that's when you have the upper hand and that's when you have to realize that they want to sell to you more than you want to buy to them. And you got to remember where you came from and, you know, still treat them like people. But the experiences I've had in my previous jobs has helped me become a successful buyer.
That's great. This is so smart. It's just so just a neat transition. And I just think it's a natural, your personality is dynamic. And I'm so glad to hear that you're not crammed behind a desk somewhere, you know, pushing, you know, the old 10 key, you know. So I do want to talk about shoeboxes particularly, because I was reading about these shoeboxes that you have that are non-branded and describing them to a T. You got lots of boxes, but why shoeboxes?
Let me back it up a little bit.
Okay.
And I'll get to the boxes, because the boxes is the end of the story, not the beginning of the story.
Ah, well, I know there's a story, and I'm dying to get it out because I think I know.
Well, everything's a story. Life is a story. You know, what I said earlier is that, you know, the key to success, at least for us, is listening to our customers and responding to their requests and doing the best you can, you know, to get them what they want, because you can't sell them what you want. You got to sell them what they want. And the best example of that goes further back behind the shoe boxes, but it's related. So we're a part of an e-commerce community. We're part of a national community. There's an envelope from the post office that came out several years ago for $5.70. You know, you can put whatever you can in this padded mailer. It's a flat rate mailer. It's just a bubble mailer. And if you put glass in it, it's going to break because it's a bubble mailer. So somebody from Hawaii asked a podcast that was coming out of Texas and co-hosted by somebody in Oklahoma, does anybody know what the largest size box is that I can use to put inside this mailer so that I can ship out coffee mugs and be competitive in price because I can do a flat rate shipping? And somebody else from Seattle who was listening to the show, let BubbleFast know about that. And we created what was called the Scotty Stuffer. And this was named after one of our customers, the one who brought it to our attention. And so we created this. We didn't create the box itself. It's called a reverse tuck carton, but we created the size so that it exactly fits inside this flat rate padded priority mailer. And now you can bubble wrap two coffee mugs, put it inside the box, drop it from 10 feet. It won't break, and you can ship it anywhere you want for now $5.35. The point of that is that it was a community effort that brought that box together. And as a reward for that, we actually named it after one of our customers. We created something called the Kitty Cat Combo and the Big Cat Combo, which was named after another customer who wanted us to create a combination of these boxes in different sizes. We have something else called the Danny Pack that was named after another one of our customers who wanted a combination of poly bags. So we respond to our customers' needs not only in giving them what they ask for, but if they give us good enough ideas, we'll give them their 15 minutes, and their names are on our website because it's our products. And it makes them feel good, and it encourages other people to give us ideas of what we can present to our other customers. So that's the backstory to the shoeboxes. We're in a lot of Facebook groups, and FBA is a big one right now. And there's a lot of people that will purchase shoes that they want to send into Amazon FBA. And they may buy them wholesale lots or whatever, and they don't come with their boxes. So they need generic boxes to put their shoes in so they can send them into FBA. So somebody asked us what we can get them. And we did some research, and we found that whatever boxes we can get, which are big and clunky and horrible to work with and put together, we couldn't be any more competitive than anybody else who's selling these shoe boxes. So we came up with the idea of taking the Scotty Stuffer, which is basically a pop-up box, and you tuck in the ends, and just take that box and make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And so now we have the Scotty Stuffer that's doubling as a small shoe box. And it's lightweight, easy to put together, easy to ship a bundle to our customers. Created another size that's now the medium shoe box. Created a bigger size, which is now the large shoe box. And since we put out the video, created another size, which is now the extra large shoebox. So what we do is we try to respond to our customer requests and create what they need so they can keep coming back to us for more things.
But you're watching trends. You're addressing trends. I think, it's so fascinating to hear the story of the early days, but you're continuing that. I just think that is really something that people need to pay attention to. So you're watching trends, you're paying attention to trends, you're listening to what customers are saying, and you're acting on it. You're not just talking about it, you're acting on it. You found a solution, a cost-effective solution, and all you did was modify something you already had. You took one of your best things and made it even a little better for something else. I think it's genius. I think it's really genius.
Well, thank you so much. It's just that, like you said, anybody, you can buy a box anywhere. You can buy bubble wrap anywhere. But not everybody can get you a Scotty stuff, or not everybody can get you a box size, or not everybody can get you self-seal suffocation warning bags. You just have to keep creating over and over and over again, because whatever we've done, after we've put it out there, somebody else comes along and says, I'm going to do that too. So you're right. You got to keep sticking with the trends. And at this point in time, it's easy because people know that when they need something, they can just come to us and ask, any suggestions. And if we don't have any, we'll make something up. And we just keep staying ahead of the curve of everybody else, let them catch up. Then we'll just go on to the next best big thing.
That's great. You know, one of the hot buttons out there in FBA land is private label, right? And so I think about that concept in what you're doing. In a lot of ways, you do a lot of private label with boxes, right? I mean, you have your own private designs. You've already described a couple where you custom had them made for you. How do you go about that process? So I have an idea and I say, hey, I need blah, blah, blah. I'm looking at a robot, 1950s robot, and I need this size box, but it has to have this special thing to hold, you know, the guns, and it's just a fantastic, I'm going to have a gazillion of them for you. What's your process?
Well, first thing is that if one customer comes to us and says, I need 13 boxes for my robot, that's going to be a tough one. You know, get some bubble wrap and some boxes a little bit bigger, wrap it up, and you're done. But if a customer comes to us and we can explore what they're looking for and find out that other customers have similar needs, then we have a laundry list of suppliers that we work with that can then give us quotes and, you know, we can make custom products that way. But when you do something custom, you can't buy one box. I mean, you got to make a pretty good size investment. So we're going to do some research both in what other customers' needs are and have some of our suppliers go up against each other to see who can give us the best deal. And our method is that we will bring in a small quantity at a higher cost, but price it out as if we bought a bigger lot at a smaller cost. So this way we're not making a huge upfront investment. We're not making as much money or breaking even on our smaller investment or a smaller lot. But at least this way, we're not putting too much money in it. We can test the market. We can test the price that we've put out there. And if it's successful, then we can go back to the supplier, buy the bigger lot at the smaller cost, and then we can make our margins.
Now I heard the accountant speak. I heard him with some authority there. Are you doing the design work, or do the box companies come back and say, hey, you know, I know this is what you were kind of thinking you wanted. We found a way to do it this way, and company B does it. Hey, this is the way we think it can be done.
Mostly we take existing products and do, you know, minor modifications. The more modifications you have to make, the more expensive it's going to be. So, you know, the Scotty Stuffer is not a new box. We just ask for a specific size. So quite frankly, anybody can go out there and have some manufacturer custom make that size, but we've got to buy a big quantity and we have that name trademarked. So anybody can sell that size box, but nobody can call it the Scotty Stuffer. You can't really trademark a size or patent a size, but you can trademark a name or an idea. So we try to keep it as simple as possible, but protect our brand at the same time.
Really impressive. You know, sitting back and thinking about it again. So I'm a small seller, and I'm thinking, man, I want to be Mark and Robin from Bubble Fest. That's the model I want. I want to be able to start on eBay, start on Etsy, move it to Amazon, move up in size. I'm going to be on four or five different platforms, but I want my own website. I want to build my traffic, and I want to create a future. Do you feel like you're at a place now, not that you can pull back on or let off the pedal, I don't mean it that way, but that you're comfortable enough with your business model that should Amazon shut you down because you were selling copyrighted rubber bands or eBay, you know, I don't know. I can't even think of a good example there. Are you comfortable enough with your model that, you know, you have enough channels now that you think you can sustain this long term?
I think that we're in a little bit of a unique situation. It's not just that we're selling on eBay, selling on Amazon, and selling on our website, but we're selling to eBay sellers and we're selling to Amazon sellers. So, yes, we're selling our products on Amazon. And it doesn't matter how big you are, Amazon could shut you down at a whim. That's not going to shut us down because we're still selling to everybody else who's selling on Amazon. So we've really got it covered from both angles.
That's great. Really well thought out. What do you think your biggest strength as an entrepreneur? What did you bring? You know, I mean, I understood we talked about the corporate life and that discipline, I like to say with accounting specifically, that disciplined approach to the business. And what do you think your biggest strength is now?
Well, I don't want to get hokey about it, but quite honestly, my biggest strength right now is my wife, Robin.
Yeah, That's good. That's a good answer.
It's the truth. I tend to be a little bit riskier. Robin tends to be a little bit more conservative. So we talk everything out and give each other points and have some nice discussions or some heated discussions sometimes, whatever it takes, until we're both comfortable with our decisions. And it doesn't always work out, but you know, we've been around long enough that most of our decisions, as long as we make them together, pan out. So, you know, they say that two partners that are exactly alike are going to have a more difficult time being successful than two partners that aren't, because you really need different perspectives. And Robin and I definitely have different perspectives on many subjects.
I like that. You really need different perspectives. I like that.
You need somebody who can see something that you can't. And then you have to be, you know, a big enough person to say, yeah, you're right, I get that. Let's put that in the formula.
So who do you, I mean, obviously you talk to your wife, but you must talk to people outside of that, because, you know, I can talk to Andy or I can talk to Chris Green or whatever about my business, because we're in this, well, maybe Chris not so much anymore, but we're in the same business model, right? He's doing private label, I'm selling toys or whatever, right? Who does Mark Levine talk to outside of Robin? What kind of group? Are you involved in any other groups or mastermind groups or anything for the shipping world? Is there a shipping world community that you're part of?
Not really. There's a couple times, like once a year, every other year in Vegas and every other year in Chicago, there's the PAC Expo. But that's not really a community that we're a part of. We're part of the e-commerce community. We are also involved in our own local meetup group near Chicago. We just joined another meetup group that's local to us in Wisconsin. So we're not involved in any mastermind groups. We're just involved in the community as a whole, whether it's a meetup group in person or Facebook groups that are e-commerce oriented, whether it's eBay or Amazon or FBA in general. But what happens is that we spend a lot of time on the phone with our customers, and they ask us a lot of questions and we ask them a lot of questions. So, you know, as long as we're open-minded and we don't know everything, you know, we can give you advice on what we know by talking to other customers, but we like to listen to our customers and we learn from them, because everybody knows something somebody else doesn't. So you have to be smart enough to know what you don't know and listen to other people, take their advice, and weigh it against, you know, everything else, and then it comes to some decisions. So I can't stress it enough. Being involved in a community, any community, you can't do any better than that, because if you share knowledge, you're going to share strength.
That's really – oh, you just got deep on me there. That was good. So what's the best advice you received?
The best advice that we've received –
yeah, you said you got advice and you're out there talking to people. What's the thing that's kind of stuck with you? I got the vibe that you are staying true to your core, which is community oriented. I get that. I mean, I just think that's perfect, and I see it, and it obviously you can't argue with its success. But did somebody start you down that path, or did you just figure it out on your own, or was Alan, or are you just following what he gave you?
Well, I've been in business a long time, so has Robin. You learn a lot along the way, and, you know, you keep that in your back pocket, so, you know, the information is there when you need it. If you be true to yourself and what you believe in, and try not to stray too far, you know, you're going to be successful. We've turned down business. Don't try to be everything to everybody. You know, we've thought about doing, you know, a lot of local sales and sending salespeople out there and hitting the local community. That's not who we are. We talked about bringing in big, huge wholesale clients, you know, and, you know, doing mass quantities at low margins. Well, that's not who we are. We're a small business catering to other small businesses. And as long as we stay focused and stay on task and listen to our customers, then we're going to continue to be successful at our own pace. And don't try to do too much at one time. The biggest advice that I can give is, you know, we've been through some tough times. Like you said, we've survived the dot-com bust. We, you know, as you got an example before about the way we buy, everything we do is like, we try to do everything without spending any money. Try to use all the free tools you possibly can. And then when you get big enough where you have to spend a little bit of money, at least you've done the work yourself and you know where you got to go with it. So just, you know, keep a tight eye on everything you spend. Don't try to buy softwares so that other companies can do the work for you. Do the period. End of story. Do the work.
Wait. I'm going to stay on that one because that one's really good. Don't try to buy. So say it again.
Well, you know, there's a lot of softwares. There's a lot of coaches. Every time there's something new that pops up, a new coach expert pops up. Some of them have done the work and they're good. Vetting them and understanding who's who is a tough job. But there's so many people, you know, that want to give somebody money to be their coach and tell them how to be an overnight success. It's not going to happen. Find a mentor that's going to, you know, help you along the way and do the work. You can't pay somebody to do the work for you. It's nice when everything goes 100% according to plan, but we all know that doesn't happen. So if you don't know how to do the work yourself and something goes wrong, you're not going to know how to fix it. And the more money you give to somebody else, the less money you get to keep. So we always, you know, we used to use TurboLister to list on eBay because it was free. We'd use, you know, the FBA revenue calculator because it's free, whatever it is. And as you grow and your needs grow and you do need to spend some money on some tools, at least you know how to, you know, what you're looking for because you know what tools you need because you've done the work and you understand it. So you can be able to spend your money more wisely. Just don't invest and don't buy all the tools that everybody tells you to do before you even start your business. Grow your business slow, learn your business, and then spend money as you need, not the other way around.
I do see a lot of that. You know, oh, what else do I need? Do I need to have this? I mean, I think back to when we started, we had nothing. I mean, we had nothing to start with this, and we made it, you know, and now you have to have every gadget known to mankind. And quite frankly, you really don't. There are a lot of people who still don't have scanners because they just know what they're buying. You know, I just love that. I love that. That is really sound advice, really impressive. So where is, as we get to the end, right, so we have, there is a question I want to ask you about, you know, at the end for process improvement, but where is BubbleFast going now? I mean, you've really had a lot of success. You're having a great year this year. You're growing. You're expanding. Where are you going in the future?
Well, right now, we're in the middle of getting some new software for ourselves to make our lives a little bit easier here so that we can free up more of our time so that we can grow the business. We're working on getting an app for the Android and for the iOS, for the iPhone. We're working on getting some commercials out, and we're just, you know, FBA isn't going away. So we're preparing ourselves to grow our business, to keep supplying to FBA sellers. As more categories are coming into play and as more Amazon requirements are coming into play, we're just positioning ourselves to fulfill those needs in advance to make sure that we're ready when the market hits.
Wow, that's just great. I wish you nothing but success, or continued success. Let me just say it that way. I don't want to say you've already got it, but it's just you can see why. Okay, so the goal of this podcast, as we've already talked about, is really to help people who are stuck and move forward. You clearly have been stuck in the past and move forward. You were able to get past it, and it sounds like, you know, you had a partner in business that really help complements, and I'm sure that the discussions really get built upon, right? So can you give us a process improvement that we can take? And most of the sellers that would be listening to this would be Amazon or eBay sellers and trying to get to that next level. And I always describe the next level as, you know, where you can earn a living, not just a part-time job. So can you give us some advice?
I'm trying to think of something we haven't already talked about.
You know, you gave a lot. I mean, you already have given a lot. I mean, I really do appreciate what you're saying.
So, again, the best thing for us is to get – best advice I can give anybody listening here is to get yourself involved in a local meetup group. Go to meetup.com, type in e-commerce, eBay, Amazon, FBA. Find a local group where you can physically go to a meeting once a month. Share stories, learn from other people, get ideas, and then figure out which ideas work best for you. And and put those ideas to use. We have people that have been coming to our meetup groups, you know, for years that have still never sold a single thing on eBay. They're just, it's like, I'm going to do it, but they never pull the trigger. So, you know, don't have fear of failure. Just go out there and do it, but don't, you know, find things around the house, you know, find things at garage sales, test the waters. Don't invest a lot of money. Just start out slow, learn the system, learn what works best for you, and listen to your customers so that you can give them what they want, not what you want to give them.
Well said. You did find another one. That was really well done. All right, so we want to get in touch with Mark. And when Mark, you're open, if I have this brilliant idea, I can shoot a note to Mark at bubblefast.com and actually get a to Mark. It's not going to go through some VA in the Philippines who's going to send it to China, and then they're going to shoot it over to California and then to you. Is that how it works?
No, Mark at bubblefast.com is my email address. You know, not necessarily in Robin's favor, but I look at my email wherever I go. It's on the computer, my laptop, my iPhone. I try to answer emails as often and as quick as I can. You can call us at 877-599-SHIP, S-H-I-P. Only Robin or I will be answering the phone. People send messages to the BubbleFast Facebook page. I've been doing IMs on Facebook Messenger. There's just a ton of ways to get a hold of us, and we do the best we can to respond as quickly as possible. It is only going to be Robin. It is only going to be Mark that's going to answer your questions. If you call us up on the phone, we will spend time with you, and we'll answer any questions you have about e-commerce, whether it's what shipping supplies to buy, what tools to use, what services to use. You know, we've been there, we've done that. We'll do the best that we can to help you out anytime.
And they can meet you face-to-face at Ecom Chicago in October, October 16th and 17th. So I'm going to have links for all the things that Mark has mentioned in the show notes on commercemomentum.com under this episode. Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time. You've been so helpful and so generous with your time. I wish you nothing but success. And tell Robin we said hi and thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.